It's good to see everyone here again today. Come of free will, free choice to come to church on the Sabbath day. We have it ingrained in us, I pray, that we do take every time sickness comes or something happens, we know that it does keep us away from here. But we do come into the presence of our living God to see that, to praise his holy name, to honor him. And this morning, to talk about the value and inspiration of Scripture. For men to write what had happened in the past, we know that it happens today, that there are many books written about the past. But we looked at a Bible and see these men, the right of the past. They were not there to see it. Most of it, to start with, was by word of mouth all through the ages. But then men to speak of the future that has not yet even happened, but yet things that have happened, so much that has happened that we know already know about. And how were men able to do that, to speak of this future especially? But we know that it is through inspiration of our God, inspiration given it to it, to inspire, to put thought, feeling, life, force into, to arise or influence by a divine force. Inspiration, the influence of thought and strong feelings or action, especially on good actions. Theology, a divine influence directly and immediately exerted upon the mind or soul of man as the influence from God which helped men to write the Bible. The Strong's dictionary says it's in Hebrew the breath or life, in a Greek it's divinely breathed in, given by inspiration, inspired of God, to breathe of God. We will look at why the Word of God is inspired. Let's have a word of prayer while we start. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for your word that we have, yes, written in many languages, but we may read it and understand it, given to the prophets of old for their time as well as for our time today, to show us how we are to live and to act in society, how we are to live and act according to thee, to thy word, according to every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. We thank thee in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Yes, the inspiration of the Scriptures. And if you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Every time I'm up here and I open the Bible and the Word of God, and it, I remember Roger Curtis saying that you're supposed to hold it up all the time when you read from it. But I don't do that. You'll have to excuse me for that there. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, we are called to look back at the cause of the condition of the Jews as they, so that today that we may avoid many of the conditions that they had there then, the condition that led them away from the simple truth of the gospel, and that's to see Jesus as the Christ. And that is our goal for today, to see Jesus as our Christ. And so this means that the reader must understand what must be necessary for the result of God's people, for the church of God, to every people whom today to obey if they fail to see the value of the inspiration of God. See that? We know that the Bible is not prized or appreciated by many of the people in the past and today, even of the professed followers of Christ. We all have our different theories, our different interpretations from it. But its value is not correctly estimated. Its truths are not as highly regarded as they ought to be. In the relation to the individual and to the church is not as clearly understood as it should be in order to know and understand God and what he requires of each and every one of us. We read that Christ was a stumbling block to the Jews at his first advent, but it also tells us that he was a stumbling block to both houses of Israel. It's Isaiah chapter 8, verse 11. Should not the Israel of today, Galatians 6:16, the Church of Christ, know just how she is steering? What are her bearings? And what to what she is anchored? We need to know these things. Is it to the word of the living God, or is it to the tradition of men? We know that there's many out there that do not know the Bible. But when Christ came to earth, he said to the Jews, "Ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God." Mark 12:24. It does not say that they were ignorant of the Bible. It does not say that they did not read the scripture, because they did. Nor does it mean that they were not familiar with its teachings, which we know that they were. There were men there that knew the entire Bible, every chapter, every sentence, from Genesis to Malachi. For at that time, that's all they had, was the Old Testament. And if you would turn to Romans chapter 2, in verses 18 through 20. "And knowest his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth in the law." Yes, they were very familiar with the writings of the scriptures of those days. But their difficulty was in understanding only in the light of the interpretation, the explanation, the construction that was given to them by the priest and the rabbis. When Herod asked the priest if they knew where Christ was to be born, they very readily turned and said, "Yes, in Bethlehem of Judea," Matthew 2:5. And why? Because the prophet told them, Matthew 2:6, and Malachi 5:8, 5:2, we can find that. And at that very moment, time, the Messiah was laying by them, close by them. But they did not appreciate the fact that he had come, that he was the one that this prophecy was talking about, that will be fulfilled in him. John 1:11, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." How many of us have received him not into our lives? And why is the Bible not understood? Was in our scripture meditation in 2 Timothy 2:15. It's because they did not truly and rightly divide the word of truth. And we need to do it, read our Bibles, to know what is truth, and to see that, and to understand that. And if you would turn to John chapter 7, many of the rulers of the Pharisees didn't believe in him. It was taken for granted that the scriptures did not apply to him. So in chapter 7 of John, 46 through 48. "Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him? But this people knoweth not the law are cursed. As we see that, Nicodemus said unto them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, doth our law judge any man? Believe and hear him, and know what is truth, and doth know. So we see that they didn't believe that the scriptures meant them applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were ensnared and they were entrapped by the traditions of men, by the teaching of men. Romans 11, 8 through 10. And we can see a striking parallel today with many of the professed people of God now. They know the scriptures. They do not know the scriptures, neither the power of God, what that power can do. They have their Bibles. They read their Bibles. They are acquainted with what the Bible says. But so much is the explanation in the teachings of men. Human ideas are standard for the interpretation of God's word. And men follow who they may lead as they are led. So we know that many times people will follow what they're told. They believe everything you see, and it's always see. What is it? Don't believe anything you see and only half of what you hear, or something like that, you know. But we can expect the same similar results today, unless the people awake to the inspiration of God, to the opportunities and the responsibilities that we have by reading the Word of God, as did the disciples of Jesus in Acts 1, 15 and 16. We can see where they did follow the scriptures. All of us personally need to read the Bible, the Word of God, to know what it teaches, and then with the courage of our convictions to follow the blessed Word of God in our lives daily. We need to pause at times and to require, what is the Bible? And we know that there are various opinions on that, even today. There's scores, even hundreds of people that have the opinions of what the Bible is and how it should be regarded and put into place and interpreted. But we know scarcely any two agree. Many times we even have that right here in the church. Disagreement. Educators and theologians hold that the Bible is a good book. Others say that the Bible is inspired, but so are the works of many men. Others claim that there are many errors in the book, in the Bible, just as there are errors in all the other books. Also claim that the Bible may be judged by the science of the day, as modern science is the test of all truth, and we know that is everything has to be proved by science today, or is not true. As a result of that, they say that the Bible is not wholly in agreement with science, that it did not stand the test of truth on many scientific phenomena. So we get back to the question, what is the Bible? Have we any definite knowledge? Can we be positive what it is? How can we, have we absolute certainty? And we know that the answer is yes to that. There's certainly positive proof, absolute proof, authority as to what the Bible is. And we know that the answer comes distinctly and directly. It is the word of the living God. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. In verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and a belief of truth. And then Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And this is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we see that and read that. We also know that there is sweetness in the Bible when it is understood. There's no discussion to prove the scriptures is an inspired word of God, nor to prove the inspiration from a scientific standpoint. The Lord is able to do it by himself, by his own blessed spirit, to let us know. It is written there, whichever thing proceedeth from the mouth of our God shall not return to him void. It shall be accomplished all that he wishes. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. We need to pay attention to the value and inspiration of the whole Bible as the word of God, especially the scriptures that are so much neglected and even considered of little value, because much of it is considered of little value. The word of the Lord is sweet as the honey and honeycomb. We should be eating the words of the living God, Psalms 19, 9, and 10. And it will be to our souls like heavenly manna, John 6, 34, and 35. We know that we are to read the Bible, to study it. I have not personally done that over the years as much as I should. So much that I should have had in my mind here and memorized, but I don't, because I have not done the duty that I should have in reading the Bible as much as I should. There's very few people that do believe the Bible that have any doubts about the New Testament, but there are some today that are trying to discredit the whole Bible, in some portions even of the New Testament. They seem to have the idea that the scripture of old, the Old Testament, the writings of Moses and the prophets are okay in their time, but they're not relevant today for us. See that? And they're not desirable, and few are understood. And without reading the Bible and understanding it and being a child of God in heaven, the Holy Spirit bring the thoughts to us of what we read. They are not understood by many. So we talk about Moses and the prophets. And it is to the Moses and the prophets. If you would turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Where we see it is to Moses and the prophets. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And also it talks about it in chapter 16, verses 29 and 31. And then Daniel 10:21 says it is a spirit of truth. We need that attention needs to be directed for those to find the value of the Bible and to be able to use it as a word of God in their lives. It is a controlling factor in our lives. We pray that it is. We look at the very foundation of the Bible, of the truth that we hear, that the gospel of Christianity, and it's based on Moses and the prophets. And if they had not, were not believed, then we know that the gospel is discredited. The word of God would be discredited. And we know that Satan tries to do that at all times in our lives. In almost everything, science, philosophy, intellectual pursuits, and so forth, seems to conspire against the word of God, against these precious and good volumes that we have as sacred. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands true. 2 Timothy 2:19. And if you would turn to John 5, John chapter 5. verses 46 and 47. 46 and 47. For hath he believed Moses, he would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And yes, to believe the words of the Old Testament, so that we may believe the words that Jesus spoke while he was here upon this earth. Yes, we know that the Moses and the prophets are an inspired word of God, proof of the authenticity of the word of God, the basis for the fulfillment of God's blessed truth, Luke 16:31. But what is inspiration? I gave the definitions earlier to that there. That 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not at any time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Yes, moved by the Holy Spirit. We pray that we can be moved by the Holy Spirit ourselves today. Yeah. And it does. The Bible defends the inspiration as a moving of the Spirit upon the hearts of men. We know that there are times when the words spoken of the inspiration by God, of God, said things that they would not really have wanted to say. But they did realize that they were mouthpieces for God. And they were obligated to say what God put into their mouths. We can look at, especially at the truth of the prophet Balaam, who was called to curse Israel by the king of Moab. And we do know what happened if you turn to chapter 22 of Numbers. Numbers chapter 22. We see here where the king offered Balaam a large sum of money if he would curse Israel. Come and do that. You can see that in Numbers 22, 4 through 8. And in chapter 22, he was told in verse 12, he was told by the Lord not to go. But he finally insisted on going, and God gave him permission to go. But if we read in verses 18 through 20, there in chapter 22, 18 through 20, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. We see that. He did. He asked God what to speak concerning what he should do. And then in chapter 23, verse 8, we see there what he said and responded. 23. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defiled? So we know that he had the words of God given to him, and he spoke them. He couldn't speak any other words but those. He couldn't speak words of his own that he wanted to gain that money that was offered to him. And we do know what happened to Balaam in the end, that he was killed. That. And we know that the king objected more than lightly to what Balaam had said, and not blessed the people and not cursed them, which he wanted him to do. And Balaam replied again in verse 12. Verse 12. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? We see that there, and so he did. He was speaking words that he did not want to speak. but through the inspiration of the Holy God, he spoke only what God had told him to say. We know that more than once the king endeavored to have Balaam curse Israel. And as many times the Lord placed the words in his mouth what to say. Numbers 23, the whole chapter 23 and 24 tells us about that. You could read about that. He could only say what the Lord told him to say, and that is inspiration. God speaking through men, God the speaker, and men the medium of communication. And that is today, God speaking through man, and man the medium of communication, showing that the inspiration of God is simply God talking to men and through men to us today. And if we would turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3, chapter 3, 9 and 10. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. We know that all scripture is inspired. Paul spoke, made a statement, and that was our scripture reading, or what I first read of 2 Peter. The 2 Timothy. If we turn there to 2 Timothy, that's what our reading was. I'm sorry. 2 Timothy again, chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Yes, God wants us to have that perfection, to have the perfection of Christ. We know that all scripture is given by the breath of God, every part of it inspired. All has been written by men whom God chose to do so, and he selected. But this doesn't imply that whatever is found in scriptures was directly spoken to the people by God through his servants. For instance, Satan speaking to Eve there in the garden, the lie that he spoke there in Genesis 3. 1 through 4. The serpent spoke to Eve, but God told Moses what to write, told him what the conversation was, and told him what the statement was. So Moses wrote it down according to what God had told him. God has told many other writers and many other things what may have said to be said. And the inspiration of God told him what to insert and what to omit. Does scripture demonstrate that every one of the books we now have, we know as the Old Testament, are really inspired works of God, and the Word of God, and were written by men who are regarded as their authors? As proof, we need to go to Christ and to the author of truth in John 14:6, the fulfillment of Moses and the prophets and the apostles, the men chosen by God, and to look at their reply. And next time we will do that. We'll look at that. To know that we can have a better understanding of scripture so that we can appreciate the value and inspiration of God, of the Word of God, the blessed scriptures that God has given to us, which were not only breathed into the lives of men who wrote them, but may also be inhaled into the life of every man and woman who receives them absolutely as they are. 1 Peter 1, 23 and 24. The words of the living God. And I pray that as we continue to read and study the Bible, to live by it, live by these words, that we will see the true story of the controversy between heaven and earth, between Christ and Satan. To know that and to see that. And as I said, we'll look at the Christ and the apostles about the books of the Old Testament, whether they believed that they were the inspired word of God. And we know that for a surety that we can believe that they are the inspired words of God. Yes, our gracious Heavenly Father, increase our faith by your words, the inspired words, through the Holy Spirit given to men of old. May these words be inspired within our minds also by the Holy Spirit, so that we may be like Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and a God of peace will be with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.